The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
Kia ora, I'm Senga and this is Heritage South, the show connecting Southlanders to their heritage and where we talk heritage happenings from around the region. This episode is our final in the current series, highlighting the stories of built heritage around Southland. And for this one, I'm again joined by Team Leader of Experience at Te Anua, David Dudfield.
Kia ora, Senga.
Kia ora. And we're actually travelling to Rakiura Stewart Island for our very special heritage listed property.
Excellent.
Yes, I'm quite excited.
I am too.
I have to confess that in terms of my local history knowledge, I only know scatterings of Stewart Island. And so it's been wonderful to hone in a little bit on this very, very special property. And of course, we're talking about Traveller's Rest.
That's right, yes.
Now, it is a Category 1 listed property on the Heritage New Zealand list. And if you're not quite sure how that all works, to be nominated as a heritage property, an entry must be considered to have historical or cultural significance or value. But Category 1, you also have to have something special and outstanding in that historical and cultural significance value.
That's right, yes. Perhaps a bit of context as to where Traveller's Rest is. So it's on the headland overlooking Half Moon Bay. So if you're heading in on the ferry to Rakiura, it'd be on the left as you head in towards Half Moon Bay there, up on the hill there. It's one of the earliest surviving houses on Rakiura Stewart Island, dates from the 1870s, built by a local carpenter, Robert Garvey, and made from locally milled rimu and totara. So it's got quite a bit of historical significance.
It really does. And I don't think I knew that Rakiura Stewart Island was significant because of those European settlers that came in around about the time when the whaling and sealing was going on. But I hadn't realised just to the extent that people were actually making their homes on Rakiura. So that's exciting, really.
It's quite close to Acker's Cottage, which is the oldest stone brick building.
That's right, which is also
just up the hill there.
It's also a heritage listed
building. Also, there's a lot of heritage in that little part, isn't there?
Yeah. I know. And I think that the historical significance for the Traveller's Rest is actually connected with the Harold family. So James and Agnes actually operated it at one time as one of the island's very first boarding houses.
Which is very cool, isn't it? Mm. And actually, Acker's Cottage is in Harold Bay. So, you know, there's that, you know. It's very interesting.
I know, I know.
So there have been a few minor alterations and lean-tos and additions to the building, but it's pretty original. So it's technically, it's a real example of what houses built in the 1870s would have looked like.
Indeed. And when they were looking at it, I know that architect Peter Baxter was said to have considered the house as perhaps the only genuine, unadulterated example of colonial architecture left in Southland, and that the house was technologically significant for the techniques used to build the timber framing, linings and joinery.
The photos I've seen, it looks stunning. I've never actually been into it because it is a private house, but
yes,
the photos look amazing. So it's built in nearly a square plan. It's about 18 metres long by about 15 and a half metres wide. The roof is gabled with a primary ridge running the length of the building. Single gables projected either end of the ridge, forming a U-shape in plan. And the house is a story and a half high with attic windows on the gable ends.
I think it's quite interesting when you look at the photos of Traveller's Rest. That's quite a common design now. If you look at some of the houses being built, they've got the kind of those two end pieces and then the central piece. Mm. And that's kind of what the outline of Traveller's Rest reminds me of. So, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same, I guess.
Oh, gosh, what a view from up there. Just looking out over that must have been amazing.
Yes, yes, indeed. And, of course, you've already talked about Harold's Point. One of the earliest named places in Half Moon Bay.
Mm, yeah, yeah. James and Agnes were amongst the first permanent European settlers on the island, arriving around 1861.
Yeah, they came to New Zealand and they did some stuff around the Tiree Plains for a while, but then they made their way even further south. And the Harolds became so much a part of that early community that the area just became known as Harold's Point. And as you've already said, a really familiar landmark even now for any of the vessels arriving into the island, but more so, I guess, when it was all sorts of those, sailing vessels coming in, those early whalers, sealers, they were looking for places to stay.
Absolutely, absolutely. Captain James Harold, so he was an Orkney Islander from Scotland. He operated fishing stations and was quite the entrepreneur, which continued when he arrived in New Zealand.
Yes, and of course he and Agnes arrived in New Zealand and started out doing some stuff in the Tiree Plains before they made their way further south and headed on to the island.
Mm. And Agnes Harold, so James's wife, also known as Granny Harold, she met James at Hudson Bay. Hudson Bay is not in New Zealand.
No, and it is not in Scotland.
No. So her father was a Scotsman and her mother was a Native American, which is fascinating, very fascinating. And for over 40 years, Granny Harold, she was Stewart Island's self-appointed nurse, midwife, and sometimes a surgeon. She would bring you into the world and could see you out of this world over those 40 years.
I think the female version of a jack of all trades.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I do think it's interesting because the Black Doctor, Antonio Williams, he was one of the first people in Invercargill, and he was, they think he was from South America, so I wonder if there was something about that, that ability to be able to use healing and plants and that those medicinal purposes.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like maybe Granny Harold also.
Not so many pharmacies really accessible in those days, was
there? No, and I have to say that I was struck by really understanding the remoteness of Rakiura. I mean, you would have been able to see the bottom of the South Island, but it was still quite a long way away if you had a medical emergency.
Yeah.
And I do think that if you go onto the Heritage South website and have a look at the corresponding website page, there is a great story there about the nurses and the midwives on the island that you can read at your leisure and has been put together by the team at the Rakiura Museum. So,
which is wonderful.
Yeah, yeah, so definitely go and have a look, read through that. But also there's a fantastic photo of Granny Harold that you can have a look at.
Yes, I've never seen her before I'd seen that.
And no.
It's fascinating.
Now, James was still, he was a man of the sea, so they created quite a life. They didn't use Traveller's Rest just as a place for people to stay. They actually fostered children, quite a number of children over the years, and they kept animals. So you've got your pigs and your cows and your horses, but they also had pheasants and turkeys and peacocks. And the thing I love is the little story about how James apparently brought Agnes back a pet monkey.
Oh, that's adorable.
So a true menagerie of children and animals, yes. I would think.
Unfortunately, you can't see any monkeys over there at this present day.
No.
It was just a one-off.
No, no.
It also belonged to someone else too. So after, you know, when James died in 1898, ceased operating as a guest house and reverted back to being a private home, which it has remained for decades, even though it's been a bit unoccupied for a few years now. But it was also Olga Sansom's childhood home. Now, if you don't know who Olga Sansom is, she was the first curator at the Southland Museum way back in 1953. Olga Sampson. She was a teacher, a museum director, a botanist, a broadcaster, a writer. And she was also a founding member of the Ornithological Society of New Zealand. See, I even said ornithological.
You don't try to say it anymore now.
And in 1979, she was awarded the QSEM. So I think that's a fascinating wee connection to the museum there too.
And she wrote a book on Stewart Islanders and refers to her childhood home quite a lot, yeah, I believe, in that book. So that was certainly a little connection with Traveller's Rest that I didn't know about.
So cool though.
Yeah, really is. Of course, the other thing about Rakiura Stewart Island at that time when Travellers Rest was operating as a boarding house, is that it was a very popular tourism destination. Mm. It from about the 1890s, I understand that, you know, the North Island had the pink and white terraces.
Mm-hmm.
We had Stewart Island, and a lot of those visitors came south just for that. And in 1894, the Otago Witness actually referred to visitors to the island being very numerous in the summertime, sometimes as many as 100 being on the island at one time, which, you know,
that's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah,
would have been, you know, 50 to 100 there anyway. So,
and Travellers Rest, of course, was not the only boarding house or guest house, but Mrs. Harold's Place did feature quite regularly in the newspapers of the day, and was spoken about by travellers and visitors. And so obviously she ran a very welcoming, lovely place to stay.
Yeah, absolutely. So you probably should just remind everyone that Travellers Rest is privately owned, and while it looks cool, it's not open to the public. But you can learn more about this and many of the other stories at the Rakiura Museum, which highly recommend going to. If you're ever on Stewart Island, pop in there. It's so cool.
Definitely. They've really captured some of those stories and presented it in a way that makes it really inviting for you. And of course, Rakiura, let's just not forget that is the island's Māori name, and it means glowing skies, which I think is very appropriate. Mm. Of course, referencing those southern lights, the Aurora Australis, that we can see in the south here from time to time, which is really lovely. And the English name of Stewart Island is actually in honour of William Stewart, the first mate on the sealer ship Pegasus, who chartered it in 1809.
Which is cool,
eh? Yeah. Mm. We're almost out of time, Davey, but do you have any memorable crossings for Stewart Island?
I've been in a few rough crossings where everyone was green except for me. My good hearty Viking stock. I was fine. I was cool, calm, and collected, and everyone else was green. That's the story I'll go with.
It might not be a big crossing, but my goodness me, it can be an interesting crossing.
It can be.
And in those days, the ferry was known as a rolling ship, wasn't it?
Oh gosh, yeah.
Hey, so thank you so much for joining me on this episode. As I said before, you may go onto the Heritage website, heritagesouth.nz, and click on the Built Heritage tab. And we really want to say that we owe a big thank you to the Invercargill City Council and the Southland Heritage and Building Preservation Trust for the funding that has made these Built Heritage stories come to life.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. The show is available as a podcast from Radio Southland website, radiosouthland.org.nz. You can stream or download this episode. Just look for us in the Programs tab. Links can also be found on Facebook through Radio Southland's page, facebook.com/Radio Southland, and also on Heritage South at Heritage South NZ. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes, you can subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast platform, through the Access Media app, or on Spotify.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.